my Redeemer. What an interesting gospel lesson, huh? Not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. A couple of scriptures I want to read to you. One is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thought about this scripture last night, and in my early days as a teacher, I used to reference this verse a lot because my spiritual father used to reference this verse a lot, and I've just not for a while. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining wholeness. That's what the word salvation means. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Several translations would put it, whether we are alive on this side or alive on that side, that we might live sharing his life or live in union with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, says in verse 8, we'll begin in verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we might live together with him. The word in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10, live together with him, the word with there, and the word fellowship, because we're called to fellowship, into the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ, that word fellowship comes from the same root word in the original language. And the root word has the meaning of sharing, to participate in. Not just what we think fellowship, two people sitting around, but two people who are participating in each other's life. It's where we get the word union or oneness. Jesus Christ died that we might live together with him, that we might fellowship with him. I was asking the Lord, and the reason the scripture came up to me again yesterday, I was talking to the Lord just about what is my real goal in life? I don't know if the word goal. What do I long for more than anything else? And I realized that what I long for more than anything else isn't Christ-likeness. What I long for more than anything else is to experience Christ. I want to fellowship with him in the most intimate way. I want to know what it's like to participate in his very life. We have a great privilege that even the apostles didn't have until after Pentecost, because they experienced fellowship in this way, people sitting around the fire and visiting. But Jesus said to them, it's better for you if I go away, because then our Holy Spirit will come and our fellowship will be much richer. You'll actually participate in my life. I'll be in you. So that was my thing. I said, Lord, I just want to fellowship with you. I want to participate, experience your life. Now see, if that's your heart's goal, Christ-likeness is just the consequence of that. That takes care of itself. But I'm not trying to look like Christ. I want to experience Christ. And when you experience Christ, he manifests himself. Then Christ-likeness happens. In my situation at home, one of the reasons I was praying for that is because Olivia's medical condition has become more complicated. You know, we already had complications because there's been a lot going on since almost a year now. It was December of last year. She's been under anesthesia 10 times. She's scheduled for two more, but we won't get those in now for this year. So she's now on a PICC line, which means they're feeding her TPN. They're feeding her nutrition into a deep vein. And so it requires a pump. And the pump, those things, they're real glitchy. I think we've had it for 10 days, and probably at least 7 days we've had to have nurses come out from home health to try to figure out what beeps, doesn't work. And then there are just other issues that we're already dealing with. And so when I'm home, there's a lot of opportunities to serve. And those opportunities are coming fast and furious to the point where, like yesterday, I'm not getting a lot of sleep at night because there's just opportunities to serve. And so yesterday I went home and napped for over three hours. But twice during my nap, I woke up and said, what? Because I heard her say my name, which she didn't do. It's just gotten there, that place. And then the machine, the beeps. And then we've nicknamed the machine Beelzebub. And so I was saying, Lord, I just want to experience your life. I want to fellowship with you in that sense. I just want to know your presence in the most intimate way. And he said, Chuck, the best way, the greatest opportunity in terms of that you experiencing that is in the details of your day. This is now me living my life through you, and you're participating in that. Like you're part of the journey. And when I live my life through your story, it's no longer yours, it's mine. And so your greatest opportunity to experience me is not going to be in the secret place of the steep pathway, but in the public place of beeping and, hey, Chuck. You see, when they were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, that was a glorious time. But they had to come off of that place and go down into the valley where real life takes place. There was a demon-possessed boy, and there was all this arguing among themselves and disciples about why they didn't have enough faith or why they couldn't cast the demons out. There's all kinds of stuff going on, the chaos of real life. John Wimber used to say that the meat is in the streets. It's not about reading the word. It's about going out and doing ministry. That's where it's really happened. But I thought about, I've shared this before, that one of the persons in my life that had such an impact was a dear lady who had a lot of spiritual children. And she would say to me, Chuck, you have three tongues. You've got one in each shoe and one in your mouth. So it's twice as important that you what you walk as opposed to what you talk. And so I would say to you that the meat is in your feet. The meat is not what you speak, what you learned in the secret place. The meat is in your feet, what you walk in the public place. What happens to me in my quiet time, in my footstool time, is he does miracles in me. But what happens in real life is I get to experience him doing miracles through me. Great miracles, stories, also the simple miracle of expressing his patience for the 400th time that day, of not getting mad and talking to the beeping pump as if it can understand what you're saying and will explain itself to you why it's doing what it's doing. The miracle of not being frustrated. The miracle of laughter when it's an opportunity for crying. The miracle of experiencing him doing this supernatural love servant thing that he does in the messy part that makes up life. That's the meat. It's great when he does miracles in you in the quiet place, but it's so that you're prepped to experience him doing miracles through you in the nitty-gritty details that make up life. And so he did die, so that whether I'm here or in the ages to come, I get to experience partnership with his very life. And that's what I long for. And what I saw, what I was able to recalibrate was going, it's in the 50,000 times up and down the hall, with the opportunities to serve, the getting up and getting down, the beeping, the talking to nurses, all the things that you do. That's my greatest and most often, I don't think that's good English, but most often opportunity to participate in fellowship with Jesus, because that's where he's living. That's his story. That's the real deal. Is prayer important? We've been doing a thing on prayer for 11 weeks now. Yes, it undergirds all that. It feeds all that. But at some point, you got to come off the mountain and live down the valley of real life. And you didn't leave behind the opportunity to participate in his life. You stepped in to the opportunity to actually participate in his life. In the quiet place, in the secret place, you get to commune with him. In the public place, you get to experience union with him. That's participation in his life. I love it. God is faithful, to whom you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When you're reminded of that, you find yourself giving thanks in all things, because participating in his life is the greatest gift of all. And if he's hanging out addressing beeps and hey chucks, and I'd rather be watching a movie, then I'm missing out if my heart and goal is to participate with him. I need to be doing what he's doing. Amen? In other words, my head and my heart need to be there. I've got fussy children. My head and my heart need to be there. I've got this. My head and my heart need to be there, because that's where he's at. If you want to participate with him, that's where the miracle of Christianity takes place. We can be like monks and nuns and historically go live in a cave. That's easy. There's nothing miraculous about that. these things that we do, these relationships that we're in, the meat of the word is in your feet. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.